Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to another APS Portfolio Strategy Call. This is the second edition of Masters of Credit, and today we are very fortunate to have Lauren Basmadjian. She's the co-head of Liquid Credit and head of U.S. Loans and Structured Credit at the Carlyle Group. Her team manages more than $48 billion in loans, bonds, CLOs, and she sits on the firm's investment committee for both the liquid and the illiquid debt markets. She's bringing 21 years of experience, at least, to the table for us today, and that includes a little bit of time doing loan workout, which may be handy experience, at least given what the year ahead could look like. So, Lauren, welcome to the call.
Thank you for having me.
Look, before we get started for the folks that are dialing in today, just one administrative note. We want to hear the questions that you might have for Lauren. There is a little icon in the lower right corner. It's a box with a question mark in it that opens up a little chat feature. And you can use that to send some questions along. Hopefully, we'll be able to get to all of them, but we'll probably work them in the course of today's discussion. So don't be shy. Ask when there's something that grabs your curiosity. So we might as well just jump right in and probably start with loan credit before moving on to other topics. But Lauren, at least to our side, presumably to you, it looks like there are a lot of borrowers out there that are up against potentially some tough times ahead. I know this year the cost of funds for borrowers in the levered loan market have already at least roughly doubled. And, you know, look at economists' forecasts, look at the yield curve, and a lot of stuff is flashing recession. So I guess the opener is, how does the loan market navigate that? It looks like there's a lot that those balance sheets are going to have to absorb. So what are you thinking at this point?
Well, so agreed. It's sort of tough times ahead right now. There's so many risks that we're seeing. We're just starting to see borrowers deal with higher interest expense coming into this quarter into next. Now, the good news is that a lot of borrowers have hedges, and last year was a massive year for fixed income issuance. So a lot of companies have some component of fixed rate in their structure, at least for a period of time. But that said, almost everyone's borrowing costs are going up. And in one sense, you could deal with that if earnings are stable to increasing, right? Because on average, we were starting out with 5.5 times interest coverage, at least in the publicly available data. So even if you doubled, you're okay, but that's an average. There's all sorts of dispersion within that average, and what's scarier is that a lot of companies are going to have EBITDA declines. Now, the market also started out with good liquidity. As we came out of COVID, companies put a lot of cash on their balance sheet. They pushed out maturities, so there's no maturity wall. They have ample revolvers. So even if companies are cash flow negative for a period of time, they will use some cash, draw on the revolver to get through. So there's no immediate default catalyst for our market. But certainly there's a lot more risk. You know, a year ago we were looking at which borrowers could we exit because earnings were going to go down, sort of the easiest way to deal with this. And as things have progressed, that's a lot harder to do because so many companies are going to see at least a period of time when earnings go down.
One statistic that I hear often is the share of the levered loan market that is B-. And obviously the CLO market cares a lot about that because you slip to triple C and all kinds of strange things start to happen. So what about the B- sleeve of the levered loan market? I mean, they seem like they've got perhaps the least amount of room to operate out there, but I don't know if you share that view.
Well, yes. and it is a bigger part of our market than really it's ever been. And even more so, the double B market is very small in the loan market versus historical cycles. I think one of the things that we would think about is the composition of that B minus B3 basket. And there was a lot of very high enterprise software technology type of companies that fell into that category where you still at some point, not today, probably had 50% loan to value or even, you know, even better enhancements underneath you. We have seen technology and software companies be downgraded at a much slower pace historically than a typical B minus B3 company. But I would say that over the last month or so, we're starting to see the rating agencies look at that sector. And if they're disappointing results and negative cash flow, for example, very focused on cash flow, at least see things go on negative outlook, which is the first step, right? So you go negative outlook, maybe negative watch, eventual triple C. A lot of CLOs have cleaned up their triple C baskets. I think, you know, deals with cleaner triple C baskets are clearly in a better position to start out with, but we do expect to see downgrades. Now when you look at where the triple C index is trading today, it's down into the 70s again, where maybe a year ago or year ago it was in the 90s, low 90s, very high. There really hasn't been that next buyer for triple C loans, because CLOs have become more cautious. They don't want to add triple C exposure as they expect downgrades. And the retail buyers pretty much disappeared with outflows. And for the most part, now I'm generalizing, opportunistic money has a much higher cost of capital. So you need the triple Cs to sell, to fall significantly before you attract that third buyer. You know, what could reverse that is if we do see some turnaround in retail inflows into the leveraged loan class. We still haven't really seen that from the numbers, though I would say at times we see significant high yield inflows. So if there is less of a risk off environment, these stocks continue to move up, for example, and loans are earning 8.5% current coupons, you could see an environment where retail steps back in and you do find.
Did we get a little bit of a break in the channel? Lauren, can you hear us?
Oh, yes. Did I lose you?
Just for a moment. I don't know if you wanted to make that last point. You said you were seeing a little bit of – you were talking about the retail channel in levered loans.
Just if they see flows reverse and they have inflows again, you could find that triple C buyer step back into the market where they get to – they're not ratings constraints. They can put their best ideas to work by buying triple Cs if they like the credits.
So if you're managing a loan portfolio or you're managing a CLO, and you're sitting there trying to play offense or, I guess, play defense, what are the different versions of the way you play that? I mean, do you shop the B-minus that you think might be undervalued or immune to downgrade, or do you just stay away from the sector altogether? How do you play that?
Well, I don't think you can stay away, being that it's such a large part of the market. I think it just makes the credit work and getting the credit right that much more important in this environment. We're going to see downgrades. It's just how many and the velocity of it. And I think the credit work is going to matter for that, starting, you know, with understanding the CLO structure for at least the CLO manager part. Hopefully, it's been cleaned up since COVID, so you have room to deal with downgrades. But the most important part, I think, at this part of the cycle is making sure that you have a good thesis on your credit and that it can make it through, even through a downgrade. Mm-hmm. Well, I'll say on our portfolios, what we've done is we've created a downgrade list, default list. We've stressed each one of our portfolios based on their triple C baskets and their OC tests.
And obviously that's something that probably is going to change week to week, month to month, which keeps the credit staff busy, I'm sure. I mean, does this become, and I've heard some people make this case, that it puts the existing lenders to the levered borrowers under pressure and, you know, keeps them busy. Is it an opportunity for a private credit or other people that may be much more opportunistic in this space?
Well, certainly an opportunity for private credit, and I think that their phones have been ringing off the hook for the last three or four months at this point. You know, I think when we spoke to private credit managers across the street earlier this year, their concern was their funnel, meaning were they going to be able to see enough deals to keep up with their inflows? It's been a great release valve for our market to be able to divert deals that would normally come to our market, which hasn't always been open for new issue this year, to private credit. But you do get the sense that they've sort of gotten it, that they're extremely popular right now, and they're putting in smaller tickets and being more choosy because there's so much supply coming their way. But overall, this is the first cycle we're going through where you have three different avenues for capital, right, in the levered, in the below investment grade sector. Before it was just high yield and loans. Now you have high yield, loans, and direct lending, which I think is helpful for borrowers and helpful for our market as well.
Okay, you mentioned software before is a place where you can find a lot of these levered balance sheets, but what areas do you think are maybe best positioned for some of, you know, what lies ahead, where you're kind of bullish on the prospects?
So I'd say areas of stability where you have the ability to pass through costs, you have real pricing power. It's hard to switch to other or just to cut off spending to your sectors. Mm-hmm. And then also some surprising areas where we still expect to see growth, though in a normal recession, they'd be viewed as cyclical. So to unpack that a little bit, some areas of table, telecom, some software companies really sticky and should be able to pass on costs depending on their contract terms. We haven't yet seen layoffs, and maybe I should just speak to that for a second, but eventually I think there is the choice to actually cut costs as well internally. So generally speaking, we haven't seen that in software companies in our market yet. You're seeing it in the big public companies start, and I would imagine we see followers in below investment grade. We are seeing pockets of strength in leisure, travel, entertainment areas that really got hit hard during COVID are still recovering and have cap structures that have been created around just lower levels of EBITDA. So generally speaking, we're still seeing some good strength there. And then areas where we're a little more cautious would be on where the consumer was spending during COVID, retail, consumer, building products, autos, some industrials. I know that's not the consumer, but the more typical cyclicals there as well.
Mm-hmm. So what about liquidity? I mean, if your views of companies are going to be changing and you are – going to try to rebalance, is there enough liquidity out there for you to do that?
I'd say I've been pretty impressed with the liquidity of the market year to date. Year to date, we've traded over $20 billion of U.S. loans. That's more of a testament to the market than anything, that we're able to have that type of throughput. What I'll say is it followed the normal cycle where everything traded down together in the beginning and there was less differentiation of credit risk. And then as we moved along and the market got tougher and rates really spiked up and more concerns about a real recession and not just inflation, and concerns about downgrades and triple Cs, we have seen, I'd say, the lower quality part of the market be less liquid, or we've had less ability to move that around. Now, in rallies like we've seen in the last week and a half, some bids start to come back. So that's positive, but we've certainly seen the performing segment of the loan market be pretty liquid this year, but it dry up as there's triple C concerns or actual triple C downgrades.
So what do you do? I mean, if next year we see some of the risks that you're flagging, if next year it becomes less liquid, are there steps you can take in a portfolio to somehow mitigate some of that, or do you just have to ride the position out?
So I do think that I don't know that we'll see things become less liquid. If I think about the total return for the loan market next year, right? Now, until 2 weeks ago, we saw the loan index price at 92. That was implying a 6% default rate. That's not our base case. Now, fundamentals are deteriorating. Downgrades are stepping up. But you may be in this odd environment, or I think you're in this odd environment, where next year you see a good total return year from loans, even though fundamentals are deteriorating, because we've overshot on the defaults, in my opinion. Plus, coupon's 8.5%. I haven't heard anyone tell me that loans are going to drop more than 8.5% next year. So you have that backdrop where there may just be demand for the asset class because the coupon is so compelling at 8.5% first lien floating rate risk. What I'd say is, we are going to see more out-of-court restructuring. So your question is, if you're stuck in a loan, if you can't get the liquidity, what happens there? And I think you're seeing groups form earlier, more, I hate the term lender on lender violence, but, more groups against each other. And even if it's pro rata, meaning every lender is getting the same thing, the bigger guys are usually driving the boat on how the transaction is going to look. So I think that the more of these we see, and I expect to see more and more balance sheet restructuring outside of court, even for companies that don't need to restructure, right? But they're going to take advantage of the fact that their loans traded down because it went to CCC, or their bonds are trading at 60 because they have a 6% coupon and there's some risk in the name. You'll see companies take advantage of trying to reduce debt permanently by levers in their very loose credit agreements without taking an impairment on equity. And the bigger lenders are going to be the ones that probably drive those conversations just based on their size. So it could disadvantage smaller lenders in this market.
Got it. So I know that this has been a topic in the market for quite a while, but in that scenario where, there's negotiations out of court on how to restructure debt, do CLOs have the latitude to, sit there at the table and play a role?
So we'll see. A lot of CLOs got amendments to allow them to do things to protect themselves. Before, the playbook in the last crisis was rights offerings, equity rights offerings, cut CLOs out, and CLOs would end up with a lower return on the same or lower recovery on the same loan than distressed or opportunistic buyers. A lot of CLOs have been amended to allow the equity in the CLO to participate in something that wouldn't traditionally be housed inside of the CLO to protect their equity value from transactions like that. We haven't seen a ton of that this cycle. We're very, very early on. What we're seeing instead, and the question to me is, whether this comes back in size or not, is this term loan group A versus term loan group B fighting. And I think we see more of the latter. Do we see the former come back at times? I'm sure, but there are more tools for CLOs to deal with that today.
All right, so we've dodged the bullet, at least the last war, to some extent. let me talk about parts of the market that seem stuck, but in a slightly different way, and I guess I'm talking about warehouses, and there are quite a lot of deals that at the end of last year, maybe even the beginning of this year, were enthusiastically looking forward to warehousing and coming to market and have been sitting there all year long. So what happens with that situation? How does it resolve? It's been a real overhang on the market so far this year.
I think it's dealt with in a lot of ways. And the estimate is there may be up to 200 warehouses out there, various stages of ramp. The incentive by the equity is to minimize risk, minimize loss. So how do you do that? If at times it makes sense to securitize it into 12-year long-term financing because the manager you're working with has access to AAAs, they may take a lower initial IRR projection with the hopes that they're able to refinance the debt stack when the debt goes through its non-call period. So I do think that as this plays out, we see some more, what I would say, like uneconomic day one securitizations just to term out an underwater warehouse and not take a big loss on the equity. I think that if we have significant rallies, like a continuation of what's happened in the last week and a half, maybe you see some partial liquidations selling into those rallies, especially for managers that don't have a clear path to securitize. I mean, one big story this year is just who has access to AAAs and who doesn't. And I think it's really the overhang of what is considered tier two, tier three players, which just generally means they either have bad performance or they're just small and don't have a AAA's following. Those are the warehouses, you know, that are less likely to print unless you switch them to other managers that could actually price AAA's. So I think some liquidations when markets rally, switching managers, big managers that are able to access AAA's, at times printing deals that may look less economic than normal, and even splitting of warehouses to at least allow for some cheaper dollar price loans to go into the transaction are all things that that we'll see some of. I'm not worried about, you know, a wholesale liquidation of all these warehouses. Most of them have, though their reinvestment period ends, they have, you know, they have time before they wind down. It becomes more like a CLO post-reinvestment period. And I would imagine that that managers that are important to banks that do a lot of CLO issuance will ask for extensions. And equity, by the way, equity that's important to banks will ask for extensions. So I do think we'll start to see some of these extensions on warehouses. The cost of financing is going to go up, right? The return for that warehouse will go down. But I think on deals that are not getting securitized, that's probably the next step.
So are we going to see, you know, the courageous new cadre of managers launch new houses, warehouses next year, or is it going to be a print and sprint year in 2023?
It's certainly shaping up to look more like print and sprint, at least in the beginning, at least until we look to be entering a tightening AAA market. Deals have been so – it's amazing, actually. We've seen $110 billion of CLOs print in what I think has been a really difficult year because there's been loans have moved around so much and AAAs have widened throughout, you know, most of the year at the same time. So one day the print and sprint math works well, but if you wait to ramp that portfolio the next week, it doesn't or vice versa. So I think just given the cadence of how this year progressed, it's going to take a little while, one, before banks clear the warehouses they have and want to extend a lot of new financing, but two, for the market, you know, for equity to want to open up new warehouses instead of try to time the market and see if they can do print and sprints.
Got it. Well, we'll see. It's going to be good exercise for the market one way or the other. So I'm getting a question here, and for the folks that are listening, don't forget in the lower right-hand corner, you've got a question, a little box with a question mark in it, so feel free to use that. But this is on the LIBOR transition, where things do seem to be kind of moving slowly, at least on the loan front. And I guess the question is, you know, what's your view on how that ultimately plays out? There's a lot of loans that somehow have to get through the pipes before the end of June of next year.
We're starting to see more come to the market over the last couple of weeks as our market has stabilized. We're seeing most of them, but not all at CSAs. It's being done through negative consents for the most part. So you have to make sure that your team is paying attention, that other managers are paying attention, because even if you say no, you need to give me a CSA for this to pass, you know, others may not. I think we're just going to see more of these come to market. There's more paperwork, more processing, but, you know, if not, then they'll transition to 26 basis points in June.
And I guess they will thank the ARC for that additional little credit spread. So here's another question I guess we're getting, and this is rolling back to the discussion on the B minuses. So they are so large, and as you mentioned, they're hard to avoid. But there's some analyses. I think S&P put something out within the last couple of months that suggested a healthy share of those could be subject to downgrade next year. Potentially enough to push the average CLO over its 7.5%, or at least its typical 7.5% limit. What's your view on what that does to the CLO market, or whether it's potentially avoidable?
So the positive is there's active trading and management of portfolio risk. So I don't think when you look at a portfolio today, it isn't stagnant. It isn't going to look the same a year from now. But overall, you know, we're more cautious on deals that have low OC cushions and or high CCC tests right now because we do expect more downgrades to come. Now, there's also positive surprises. You know, we do get pay downs still, believe it or not. Even in this market, we're getting surprise takeouts of loans. You know, there will be the occasional upgrade. So you do have to balance that it's not all going to be bad news. But I do think especially older deals, will probably get more stress for CCC downgrades if the economy continues on this trajectory, right? If we go into a path where, we're seeing EBITDA declines, especially for a period of time and much, much higher interest rates.
Looking into the crystal ball for next year, are there things that you think could knock the credit markets that you transact in kind of off your base case, either to the upside or the downside? Like, what are the wing scenarios that you think about?
You know, the one thing that I question right now is just the CLO arb. The CLO buyer is so important, and there's so many deals coming through reinvestment period, the end of this year into next year. Now, if loans remain low, the good news is a lot of those deals could still continue to reinvest post-RP with paydowns, though that's going to create this really strong technical for shorter dated paper and instead of a bad technical for longer dated paper. So you may see a real credit curve in loans from that dynamic. But you know, the ARB is really challenged right now. If you see CLO weighted average cost of debt on new deals approaching 300 and the portfolio has a 360 spread and there's management fees in there, that's not a lot of day one cash on cash, right? And you have to make sure that loan price that you're buying in at is more than offsetting, you know, the return that you would get from that cash on cash. So, you know, my fear is the CLO engine may slow down if the ARB doesn't correct a little bit. The way it has to correct is AAAs need to tighten or loan prices need to remain low.
And if the CLO bid, if the ARB doesn't come back, wider spreads on loans, is that the solution?
I mean, the spread part doesn't fix it because you still have $1 trillion $1.4 trillion of loans with existing spreads, right? So it's only so quickly that you readjust up on the spread. The lever is price.
Oh, got it. Okay. Well, I know we had targeted 30 minutes, and I've run through most of the questions that I've got from clients, so I'm going to respect everyone's time. I think we're out of it today. So, Lauren, I want to thank you for sharing your thoughts. And I want to thank our listeners for dialing in. We're going to post a replay of the call tomorrow to the APS Portfolio Strategy website. So please be on the lookout for a notice of that. And also just to put in a shameless plug, on Friday, the Portfolio Strategy team will have its Outlook 2023 in your email inbox. That will include some thoughts on CLOs as well. But that wraps it up for today. So again, thanks. Have a good day and good luck in the markets.